People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. You're listening to Fine Music Radio, and this is Rodney Trudgeon introducing you to this week's edition of People of Note. Now, I wonder if you managed to get to see the opera, The Barber of Seville, Cape Town Opera's production, which was at the Theatre on the Bay. And if you did, you might have seen my guest, who's with me here, Innocent Masuku, who played the part of Count Amaviva. And although that is finished now, you will get a chance to see a similar production at the Woordfeest later in the year. But I'll come back to remind you. Just let me tell you a little bit about Innocent. He is wowing audiences across the world with his emotionally powerful performances. A finalist he was in the 2024 competition Britain's Got Talent, where judges hailed him as one of the greatest opera singers in the show's history, and Classic FM praising his performance of Now We Are Free as what they called second to none. Also, I must tell you that Innocent is a former member of the Cape Town Opera Young Artist Program and a current member of the English National Opera. Listen to this. He's performed in Porgy and Bess with Eric Owens with the Dutch National Opera, as well as Borsa in Rigoletto and Tamino in The Magic Flute. Accolades include masterclasses with Maestro Kamal Khan and Willard White. And his awards, many of them include the Merit Award in the 2019 SAMRO competition, the Drake Gagella Trust Award, sponsored from the Tillett Trust Fund, the Oppenheimer International Scholarship, and the Countess of Munster Music Awards. He's wowing audiences, as I say, across the world with what they call his powerhouse emotive vocals. Innocent, welcome.
What an introduction. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
It's great to have you here. And you're singing Count Almaviva, and it's just finished. But anyway, it's been apparently a huge success, and have you enjoyed it?
I enjoyed every bit of it, from making it from day one when I met the cast and till the very last night. It was so much enjoyable. I think the audience really enjoyed it, especially the wit and the humor in the show, because usually shows like this are usually a little bit formal, and they've got gags that are calculated and gags that we know that are there. But in this one, there were gags that I was not even ready for. So it was really fun.
Were there gags that the cast and the director decided to put in? They obviously weren't, say, in the original.
Yeah. A lot of those. That would make sense to South Africans as well.
Yes. And it was in a small, intimate theatre, the Theatre on the Bay in Camps Bay. So that means you're in close contact with the audience.
Yeah, you could see the audience reaction. And that was really good, because it gives you, you know, encouragement that, okay, we are doing something.
Yeah, but now what I also find interesting is that you've just done this role in London at English National Opera, the same role.
Same role, yeah. The only difference is that it was in English, and it was in a bigger theatre, and there was an orchestra and all of that. So it was huge. But doing it in Italian, because the Baba was originally written in Italian, so doing it in Italian is better. It's better.
Yeah. And the famous say that Italian is easier to sing than English.
Yes.
But it must have been a bit of a challenge for you to learn the whole opera in English, and then to have to learn the whole opera in Italian.
It was interesting. When I got the offers, I thought, oh, that's good. It means I'll just learn that, and then it would be easier to learn the other one.
Yes.
When I picked up the Italian one, I felt like I was learning it from the top again. I knew the narrative, but I had to learn from word to word again, because it feels different on the mouth.
I'm sure. And then your vocal cords and everything like that, your voice.
Yeah, it feels different.
Because, as I said, Italian has got a different technique, hasn't it, really?
Yeah, it does.
Than English. Mm. And the one that you sang in English at the English National Opera, was that also a lot of fun?
It was a lot of fun as well. It was because it was a revival. We already had things there. I mean, the show was already up and running. We just had to pick it up and play it again. So it was easier in that way. It didn't really have much freedom of putting new things, because the show was already there. We just had to put my own way of interpreting Almaviva and my own way of singing him. But it was fun. We had a really great cast as well. casting a director. It was really great. Yeah.
Well, you've had a great director here with Sylvana Strike.
Yeah.
And it must have been nice for her to approach something new. As you say, it's not in the repertoire.
Yeah.
And not only did it not have an orchestra, but it was the scaled-down production in an intimate theater. So
yeah.
I bet you she had a lot of fun putting it together, knowing that she wasn't limited by previous production.
Yeah, it was something new. She was also really open for the cast to put in ideas. She never felt like we were imposing ourselves into her own. She would take an idea and be like, okay, this is good, but now play it like this. You know, she would take in ideas and mold them the way they would fit her production. So I really enjoyed.
So there was in fact a lot of freedom on both sides, on your side as the performers, and on her side as the director. And the jokes that you speak about with the South African context and all that, did she suggest those, or were some of them suggested by the cast? Why don't we try this, or why didn't we try that?
Some of them, most of them actually happened. You know, when you are in a room, in a studio working, there's just that energy, you know. For instance, there was a joke that William came about. He was saying, when he's singing Figaro, because he's imitating people calling him Figaro, I'm calling Figaro there, Figaro here, Figaro here. So,
right.
But
that's his famous aria.
Yeah, it's in Italian, right? But at some point, he was like, Figaro, hey, Jay, you know, and we're all just, you know,
fell about.
Yeah, and that is in, you know, he does that on the shows, and people really enjoy it. Yeah,
I believe there have been two carts running in Cape Town, and you and William were in separate casts, but now when I said coming back in Woordfeest later in the year, that's with William, isn't it? But you're not there. You'll be back in London.
Yeah, so there's a red and the blue. William is in the blue cast and with amazing Dumisa as Count Almaviva. So they will be doing the Woordfeest.
Okay, well, we'll fill in dates and all that later. But now I see you've chosen your first song and you couldn't avoid the Largo Alfacto.
I could not. I mean, it's the most famous. And also why I like that one is because everybody can relate to the song, even if they don't understand what it says. It's just so attractive, and the patter in it is just, it lures you in. Yeah.
If you're not an opera lover, you know Figaro, Figaro, Figaro.
You do.
And that it comes from an opera, even though you don't know which one it is.
I'm telling you, everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. It's
Let's
famous.
Let's listen to the Largo Al Factotum.
Poi del mestiere con la donnetta traialleo col cavaliere.
Di qualità, tutte mi chiedono, tutte mi vogliono, donne e ragazzi, vecchie fanciulle, qua la parrucca e presto la barba, quella sanguigna, prezzo biglietto, tutte mi chiedono, tutte mi vogliono, tutte mi chiedono, tutte mi vogliono, qua la parrucca, presto la barba, presto il biglietto, ehi, Figaro, 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 Figaro,
Sono qua, ehi, Figaro!
Sono qua, Figaro qua, Figaro là, Figaro qua, Figaro là, Figaro su, Figaro giù,
Figaro su,
Figaro giù, quanto prontissimo sono per il termine, sono per codi, nelle città, nelle città, nelle città, nelle città, nelle città. Ah, bravo Figaro, bravo bravissimo, ah, bravo Figaro, bravo bravissimo, fortunatissimo, fortunatissimo, fortunatissimo per vanità, la 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 la, fortunatissimo, fortunatissimo, fortunatissimo per vanità, sono il peccatum della città, sono il peccatum della città, della città, della città.
It must be a lovely aria to sing that if you're a baritone, the Lager al factotum from The Barber of Seville by Rossini, a true patter song, as you said, Innocent.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was Simon Keenly's side doing it there. And it was the first choice of my guest on this week's edition of People of Note here on Fine Music Radio, Innocent Masuka, who's just finished the run in Cape Town's opera of The Barber of Seville as Count Almaviva. And I want to ask you now, before we go on to the rest of your wonderful career, you said you're leaving here towards the end of August. Where are you based at the moment? Where's home for you?
So, that question is very interesting, because my actual home, my father's house, is in Mpumalanga, but my home now is in London, because my wife and I, we are living in London.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's best.
But your wife, you told me, is in fact South African.
Yeah, she's South African.
She's not an opera singer.
No, she's not an opera singer, fortunately. Because imagine if she was an opera singer as well. She's in Germany, I'm in South Africa. It's a lot.
But so now she's in London alone while you're here doing this performance.
And I feel so guilty. But it's the first one. Before we got married, we spoke about these things, that there's going to be a time where I'd have to leave you. Then she was like, it's fine. But now it felt really bad when it happened. Yeah, next time I think I have to travel with her, actually.
There you go.
Yes.
Now, I want to talk to you about Britain's Got Talent. You're apparently a huge breakthrough when you were a semi-finalist in that. Just tell me the story there. How did you get onto it?
So, it's a really long story, but just to cut it short, I had been doing a lot of, as you can tell by the awards, I've been doing a lot of competitions, opera competitions, sponsors competitions, but I just needed something that would give me a huge break so that I could now be an artist and be seen and be able
and be
to
seen
do,
in the public.
And yes, be able to do those bigger shows and everything. And then I applied for an audition, and then I didn't think I was gonna, because you can imagine the show has so many different, what you call,
Categories.
We've got people who are singing. Some people are dancing. Some people are dancing on fire. You know, there's so many different things are happening there. So thinking of winning is just like, no, you are just singing. Some people are just dancing on the sky. Some people are throwing people. You know, there's a lot of complicated, talented people. So after going through the first round, I realized that, oh, I think there's a chance. There's a chance here. And then they called me. They said, we don't think your story is compelling enough, you know. So we don't think you're going to go to the second round. And I was like, oh, that's a sham, you know. Then they called me again. I'm like, oh, no, Innocent, we figured it out. We're just going to keep it simple. You're just going to stand and sing. And then that's what I did when I went through to the live auditions. I just stand and I delivered. And
I saw a clip of that.
I'm telling you, even what I was wearing was not what I was planning to wear. When we were just talking at the studio, the producers were like, what are we wearing? I'm wearing a tuxedo. I'm like, no, do you have something else, traditional or something? And then I wore that. Funny enough, my mother had made it, but it was not for the show.
Okay.
But I just had it with because I like wearing it, you know, because yeah.
It's from home.
Yeah, it's made by my mother. Yeah. So it's like, it makes me feel closer to home. And then I went on it. I went on with that, and that was a life-changing experience. Because when it went live, I was in another production. But when it went live, I had to like try to
juggle
yeah, that yeah. And the production, the people in the production felt a lot like, hey, you are not supposed to be here now, you are, you know, bigger people. But I continued the production because I love theater. Continue what I was doing, the interviews, because I had a lot of interviews both here in South Africa and in other countries as well. Also, I had a lot of bookings. Now I had to have an agent because I could not do it by myself. But luckily, my wife was there and she was able to help me until CAA came to the picture. And now they are helping me now. And Platoon came to the picture as well.
So what you're saying is that your appearance on Britain's Got Talent and winning has given you a sort of shot of not only adrenaline, but fame.
Yeah.
Just, you said it changed your life overnight.
Yeah, it did. It did. Because from that day, that production, that video went online and went viral, my emails changed for the better. The bookings that I was getting changed. Because usually when they were booking me, they would say, here's a show and here's the payment. Now they send the booking and then they would ask me, how much are you charging? Then I was like, I knew something has changed.
Suddenly you're a real celebrity.
Yeah, now I'm like, oh, this is how it happens. Yeah, yeah, so yeah, there was a lot of positive things that started happening after that. And a lot of people started taking me serious as well. Yeah.
And the other things you do are only operatic, are they? You don't do anything else. You only sing in opera.
I do sing other gigs as well. Like after appearing on Britain's Got Talent, I got different gigs, but I focus on opera. That's what I push more. I don't want people when they see me, you know, doing a little gospel song, then like, oh, you said, you know. So
yeah,
it
yeah.
does happen. Sometimes I sing in the church, actually.
Yeah.
I sing at church.
Now, I want to play another of your pieces, Melodrama.
Melodrama.
What is this?
So this one is a song by Andrea Bocelli. Because the song that I just released is also by Andrea Bocelli. I am a fan of him. So this is one of the songs that I think I'm going to release in future as a cover. So please enjoy.
Questa mia canzone, inno dell'amore, te la canto adesso con il mio dolore, sogniamo e adesso. Fu andarsene poi via. Questa melodia, inno della la canto e sento tutto il mio dolore, così forte, così grande che mi rapisce il cuore. Limpido è il mattino, tra i canti un gran mulino, lì è nato il mio destino.
Andrea Bocelli there with a piece called Melodrama, and a piece inspired my guest, Innocent Masuka, to do that sort of thing. And you made a single, which we're going to play towards the end of the show because you've just released it. But as I said, we've spoken about you now being in the Barber of Seville and of winning the Britain's Got Talent competition. But I want to find out about where you come from, who you are. What have you done? You mentioned Mpumalanga.
Yes.
Tell me about your family.
Yes, so I'm from Mpumalanga, a small town. They don't like us saying small town anymore. Pit Retief.
Yes.
Mkhondo now. If you know Pretienda, she's from there as well. Yeah.
Oh, does
we come
she?
From
is
the
that
same
so?
Yeah, we come from the same township. Yeah, I grew up there. That's where I started singing in the school choir. I was a friend of Slemahloba. He was like the soloist in the choir. I was not even thought of being a soloist or singing better or singing alone. I was just singing like everyone.
For the enjoyment.
Being in the choir. Yeah. But my friend had to leave the school, went to another school because he wanted to do science. Then he went to the school that was specializing in science. And then somehow people just assumed, and my teacher as well assumed, that you can sing. You've been working with our soloists and you know the songs. I knew the songs, but I didn't think I could sing even myself. I knew that I could sing with everybody, but not as a soloist. Then my teacher would just, from time to time, she's late now, but from time to time, she would just point at you randomly. When you'd sing the chorus together, then when it gets to the solo part, and then she'd point someone randomly, and then they would sing. She'd never point at me. I was happy about that because I knew there was nothing there. One of the good days, she pointed at me. I froze because she points you before it gets there, maybe like a four bars.
Yeah,
she points you.
So you've got no time to get nervous, no time to do anything.
You have to jump in. As I jumped in, I sang. Oh, everybody looked back like, there's a voice in there, you know. So from that day on, getting that reaction from people, which was genuine, because tell you something as well, I used to be really promiscuous. Yeah. So anytime I get attention, it was for the bad. If I get attention and applause.
It was for the bad things.
Yeah, bad things. I'd do bad things. I'd back check. When a teacher is busy writing something on the board, I'm making commentaries, you know. But that day when I got, you know, that attention and applause for doing something that was not negative or bad, I felt like, okay, this is what I need to be doing. So from that day, I never looked back. Even when I finished school, I went straight to TUT at Tshwane University of Technology. I studied there for 4 years, studied opera, studied with Kivit Badi as my singing teacher. And then straight after that, I worked at State Theatre. There was a company there, but now it's no more. I worked there. We did few operas. We did Carmen, actually. I was part of Carmen at the chorus. My first opera, big opera, was Carmen in a chorus. Enjoyed very much there. And then from there, and then I became a teacher now, conductor. I conducted a choir. There's a school competition that is very famous. They call it Sasuke now. It used to be Teresano back then. And then I conducted there. And then my choir went to national level, actually. And then we did really well. But straight after that, I had to leave because I knew that I needed to pursue my dream. My dream was not becoming a conductor. My dream was to sing in the national stages. And then straight after that, I auditioned with Cape Town Opera for the second time. It was the second time after that year. And then I got admitted, and then I came and I joined the young artist. Yes, the young artist. It was just a young artist back then, but now it's called the Judith Nelson Young Artist.
That's right. Why did you want to come to Cape Town? Because you knew there was a vibrant opera company down here.
Even in Pretoria, the opera companies in Joburg, they were not doing as much. Here, they were doing a lot of collaborations. They were doing operas with an orchestra. So I knew coming here would be a good way of me testing myself if I can really do this in the high scale. Mm-hmm. Then I got here and I got an opportunity to do Borsa. I worked with Kamal Khan. I got an opportunity to sing Tamino. It was my dream role at the time.
Yes.
Yeah, because growing up, I listened to a lot of lyric tenors. So in my head, I felt like I was a lyric tenor, you know. But when I got here, that's when I discovered that actually I can sing the other roles, Tamino and them, but I'm not really a lyric tenor. That's when I picked up a Count Almaviva aria, the Ecoridendi. I picked it up. I started learning
in
it.
In this very building.
Yeah. I started learning it. And then I got coachings from different teachers here. And from there on, I just started singing bel canto.
Right. I think we're going to take another piece of music now, Innocent, because I want to find out next more about how you actually got overseas.
Okay.
When you left Cape Town and went overseas. Now, you've chosen Il Divo.
Yes.
Hero. This is the group, isn't it, of male, male opera singers.
Yes. It's funny enough, they were brought together by the owner of Britain's Got Talent. So I discovered that later, and I love them so much, the way they sing, the way they... Sometimes they cover songs, they just put up songs, normal songs, and then when they sing it, bring it with orchestra, magic.
Sabes el final y te asusta lo que lees, así la vida es. Cuando naces ya te expones al dolor y de a poco y con valor logras crecer. Y como el corazón, no
nos enseña que hay temor, que hay fracasos y maldad, que hay batallas que ganar y en cada página el amor nos convierte en luchador y descubres lo común, no hay un héroe como tú. Arriesguen por amor, pero tú tienes la fe, eso lo es todo. No decaigas, que vivir es aprender y no hay nada que temer si crees en el corazón nos enseña que hay temor y hay fracasos y maldad y hay batallas que ganar y en cada página el amor nos convierte en luchador y descubres lo común, no hay un héroe como tú. Sin maldad, y hay batallas que ganar, y en cada página el amor nos convierte en luchador y descubres lo común.
That's the group Il Divo singing a song called Hero, and it was another choice of my guest on People of Note this week here on Fine Music Radio, the tenor Innocent Masuku. Before we talk about you going overseas, Innocent, have you always been a tenor? You were never a baritone that moved up to tenor. Were you a tenor right from when you started, when the teacher pointed at you and said, "You next to sing"?
Yes, actually, yeah. I was just a tenor from the get-go. I liked baritone, though, I must mention. I liked baritone, but my voice, no, said no.
Your voice said no. And you described, just before the music, you said you are a bel canto singer, actually. Mm. So you wouldn't call yourself a lyric tenor.
No, I am not a lyric tenor, though some people are saying it might get there in few years' time. But at the moment, no, I'm not a lyric tenor.
And the more dramatic tenor roles, do you do any of them?
No, not at all. So my voice is on the light side of things. Like,
which is why it would suit Tamino so well.
Yes, Tamino is light. I mean, it depends which opera house is doing it. Some opera houses now prefer the bigger voices. But it was originally written for a light tenor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, I am a light tenor. Hence, I'm doing Alma Viva, and but it does feel like the voice is gonna grow, and I don't know what it's gonna become in future. But
maybe it'll become a Wagner tenor.
Well, I'd be really rich if that would happen.
Can I ask you how old you are?
I'm 35.
Okay.
35. Okay. Yeah, just turned 35 in May.
What I want to find out now, Innocent, is how you got overseas. Mm. I know you were a finalist in Britain's Got Talent, which gave you a huge boost.
Yes.
But what actually got you to pack your bags and go overseas?
It was an ambition, you know, because I wanted to be in the world stages. And when I heard that English National Opera was coming this side, which was in UCT, to hold auditions for Porgy and Bess. There was a production that we went overseas with, Porgy and Bess. And then I went and auditioned. And funny enough, I got taken as well, along with my other colleagues. And then when we got the other side, we were advised, like, oh, guys, go to school. Don't go back to South Africa. Go to school. But obviously, really? From that trip, really? We had to come back apply and to go to school. But on that trip, we went to audition already. They organized for us to go and audition. And then from that audition, we got admitted. And then I went to Guildhall School of Music and Drama, studied there for 4 years. 4 years. You have been studying a lot.
You have. And I dare say you're still studying. Or still learning, in a sense.
I'm still learning, but not studying. I'm done studying now. I'm just working now. Yeah, and then that's how I left South Africa. And the aim was to be there for a number of years and then come back, obviously, and then travel for gigs. But I met the love of my life.
Did you meet in South Africa or in London?
We met in London. But she's also South African.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
And you call her the love of your life.
Oh, yes,
she is. Which is lovely.
Yes, she is.
So that will keep you in London now for a while. As your base, shall I say.
Yeah, for now, I'm going to have to be in London for the next 5 years. I'm planning to be in London until something else, career-wise, moves me.
Okay. So what is next when you get back to London now? What's next?
I'm doing La Cenerentola.
Doing
a few corporate gigs.
Yeah. So Rossini, the Rossini operas suit your voice well,
do they? They do. They feel natural in my voice. Feel natural.
Like Jean Diego Flores.
Yes.
He's got that sort of voice.
Yeah, he has. But now his voice is a little bit turning into lyric. He's also attempting lyric roles. I think he recently did La Traviata, which some people liked it very much. I also liked it, but few people were like, no. But you know how people get used to things and things to remain the same. I feel like he's growing up, and why not?
Do you have any tenors that we know, famous tenors, who influence you that you think this is a fantastic voice?
I was influenced a lot by Carreras.
Jose Carreras,
yeah. Oh. I mean, obviously, who hasn't listened to Pavarotti? Yeah,
yes,
Pavarotti. But technically, I liked Carreras because when he's singing, I could technically, because as a student, you are taught technique and then you want to watch someone who does what you've been learning and you see he does it. So when he covers, when he gets to certain places in his voice, things he does, and you can see. With Pavarotti, his technique was too seamless. You couldn't even see when he's covering. He could be opening his mouth on an O shape, but when you listen, you are hearing an R shape. So Pavarotti's technique was really, really, really embedded and really too good to be copied.
I know.
Yeah.
Remember the three tennis concerts with Carreras, Domingo, and Pavarotti.
Yeah.
And Carreras was always my favorite. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah,
I always
liked his voice. Yeah. His approach as well to music is different from the others.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So he has inspired you quite a lot, and also watching him.
Yeah, very much.
When you were in London, do you manage to get to see operas there with great singers and great conductors?
Yeah.
I mean, as a member of the audience.
Yes, I do. Because in the program that I'm in, I mean, I can't afford the tickets because I wouldn't lie to you. They are very expensive. But because in the program that I'm in, they give us tickets as what you call complimentary tickets. I got an opportunity to see Juan Diego. I got an opportunity to see Pretiende because Pretiende is in that
It's a big name.
Yeah,
he's right up there.
Yes.
Well, you'll be there soon.
Yes, if I work hard enough, definitely getting there as well. And I also was able to see Pretiende conducting a master class, you know, and one of our South Africans was singing in that master class. It was really a proud moment.
I'm sure. All right, Innocent, let's have another piece, and you've chosen Andrea Bocelli again.
Yes.
And this is called Prayer.
The Prayer,
so what
yes.
are we going to hear? What's it all about?
So this one is, as I'm a man of faith, so taking the genre that I love, mixing it with my faith, I mean, it's the perfect combination for me.
a piece called Prayer. That was the voice of Andrea Bocelli, and it's the second time he's appeared in my guest's playlist. Is Andrea Bocelli a voice that you admire?
I admire very much.
You know, he came out here very recently.
Yes, actually, in that tour, he also went to London, and I got an opportunity to go and see him. Wow. The guy is phenomenal. I mean, his voice, he still has that power. You can tell he's older now, but the voice still has that power. The way he holds his high notes, I'm like, my goodness.
Yeah. But that all has to do with technique, doesn't it?
It does.
You've got to have a good technique.
Yeah.
And that also, apparently, if you'd have a good technique, it'll last you right through your life.
Yeah.
And you won't start getting vocal problems later.
No, yeah. If you master that technique, and then because sometimes different techniques are for different voices. If you are taught the actual technique that suits your voice, it lasts you your whole lifetime. And if you are singing the right repertoire as well, because you can have a right technique, but if you sing the wrong repertoire, like if I go and sing Wagner, it's the end of my career.
But you're lucky because the bel canto genre has so many lovely tenor parts. Like we spoke about Rossini, Donizetti, some of the Verdi tenors.
Yeah.
They are lovely roles to sing.
Yeah, and they are lovely roles to sing, and also they are mostly staged. Like, for instance, in a year in an opera house, like, for instance, in London, every opera house would have one bel canto opera in a year.
Yeah,
so it's a good genre to be in.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what do you think might happen to your voice, or what do you hope? Do you think it'll get bigger, deeper, stronger, lighter, more flexible?
I think because of the love of the lyric tenor roles, if it would get bigger, oh, I'd be the happiest tenor alive.
Who would you like to sing?
Oh, I'd love to sing Rigoletto. I'd love to sing. There's an opera you mentioned, La Traviata. I'd love to sing La Traviata. Those two operas, my goodness, I love them. I love them. So if I'd be able to sing those arias there, because they're very, very, demanding vocally.
But there's no reason why that shouldn't happen to you. If you carry on the way you're doing it now and look after your voice,
yes,
you'll be singing them.
Yeah.
You'll be coming to Cape Town to sing the Duke in Rigoletto.
Hey, say that again.
And you'll be coming to sing Alfredo or Traviata.
In Traviata, yeah. Oh, that's a dream. Yeah.
How do you keep your voice in shape? Do you do physical exercises? Are you still getting lessons?
Yes, from time to time. I mean, now, because I've been away for the longest time, no lessons. But every time I'm going to sing, I warm up for a very long time. And warming up is not like, for me, it's not like singing. It's just like yawning and making sure that I do like vocal fries, like, for the very longest time. I've got a steamer as well, a steam so that my vocal folds are ready, and in a relaxed position, and and then I test my highest note. For instance, in the show, I was singing a top C in that area, so I just check that top C if it's there, and if it's there, I won't sing it again until I sing it on stage.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is it true that you don't know if you've got the top C until you actually give it a try? Like, it could be a day where you don't get the top C. Or you hear it and it works and it's easy, and then you know you're okay.
That one is a really intricate one. I think it's different for different people.
Mm-hmm.
But for me personally, I think I always had a top C, but I didn't know that I had a top C, because I just had a high voice. Naturally, yeah. I took on my mother's timbre. Her voice is really high. So I already had a top C, but I didn't know how to sing it properly. And I needed someone to guide me as to how to sing it, that it sounds like I'm not screaming.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think most people might have a top C, but it's just getting someone to guide you as to how to sing
and
it properly.
And there are some people who have a top C who do scream it, let's
yeah.
face it.
Unfortunately.
Which doesn't sound great. Now, listen, Innocent, we are coming to the end now. So I want to talk about your debut single. What is this all about? Because that's what we're about to listen to as you leave the studio.
Yes, so that is Nelle Tue Mani. So Nelle Tue Mani is this is not a direct translation, but the English title is Now We Are Free. So Now We Are Free is a piece taken from a theme song from Gladiator.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they took the theme and then they wrote the lyrics, because if you listen properly in the movie, it's not the same lyrics. It's just chanting in the movie, but here is lyrics. They wrote it for Andrea Bocelli. When I went to the competition, I wanted to sing something that no one has sung in that competition before, and then I listened to the song and then I connected to it, and the meaning behind it. It talks about the dream was in your head, the dream was in you, and it's up to you to pursue it. And now you being free is now being having pursued your dream. So it just spoke as well to my journey, you know, me pursuing my dream to go overseas and sing opera. Because hadn't I pursued my dream, I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't have been on that huge stage, you know. So for this song, for me, is for someone to listen to it and be inspired to pursue their dreams.
Thank you very much, Innocent, and thank you for being a very interesting guest, and congratulations all over again. Someone said you had a killer smile. You smile as you say goodbye. Thank you. We'll listen to that now. And best of luck, and come and see us again when you come to Cape Town to sing The Duke in Rigoletto or something like that.
Yes.
All right. Innocent Masuku, thank you.
Thank you so much, Roddy, for having me. It has been absolutely amazing to be here. Thank you.
And on demand.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions. FMR.